Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Faye Rotenberg, CEO of Firefly Health, a healthcare company that offers a health plan for self-funded employers that integrates care, coverage, and navigation in a virtual advanced primary care service for care anytime, anywhere. Additionally, Faye is actively involved as an advisor or board member of Cornell Tech, Phillips Academy Andover, Mass Challenge, Girls Who Code, and the Young Presidents Organization. Faye, welcome to the show.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. I'd love if you could start off by sharing with our listeners more about you and what you do.
Yeah, so you did a great job introducing me. I lead Firefly Health. We are a virtual first advanced primary care navigation company headquartered in Watertown, Mass.
Awesome. And could you talk more about what exactly Firefly Health offers? And then also along with that, what inspired you to join as CEO?
Yeah, absolutely. So Firefly, the best way to think about it is we're a primary care replacement, but primary care plus plus. So when you join Firefly, you get to choose your own personal care team. And this is your dedicated team. They stick with you. It includes an MD, so a primary care physician, a nurse practitioner, a behavioral health specialist, and that's a really important component that we'll discuss, and a health guide. And so the PCP, the MD and MP might not seem that unique. The fact you have this entire team is, and the integration and inclusion of the behavioral health is also really important, because we recognize that there's a behavioral component and behavioral health component to majority of physical conditions. And so we're enabling people to have that licensed clinical social worker as part of your core care team, as well as a health guide. And health guides can be nutritionists. They're usually trained in chronic condition management. So if you have diabetes or hypertension, they'll work with you on those conditions. But they can also help you lose weight, and they can support you. And the whole model is really built around having continuous access to this dedicated team.
Yeah. And then that way, I can imagine it doesn't make it difficult, or makes it so much easier for people to know that it's almost like a one-stop shop, and they don't have to actively themselves go out and find these professionals or caretakers that they would need for whatever their ailments or conditions might be.
Exactly. And while our teams practice virtually, we have Firefly nearby partners. So these are really tightly integrated places for hands-on care. And we have 2,000 of them across the country, and many within the state of Massachusetts, that enable us to provide all of the care that you'd expect to get from an in-person PCP and much more. So including in-home care services and in-home care diagnostics. So if you don't actually want to go and travel down the street or a few blocks away, we can in many instances send someone to your home, which really adds more convenience to the experience for our members.
Absolutely. Especially for the people who can't leave their home, if depending on their situation or age or anything like that, it makes it so much more streamlined for them and much more easier to get things looked at and checked on.
Yep, absolutely.
And so with the 2000 plus partners that you have throughout the country, like, how have you sourced them or like vetted them almost? Like, how did you know that they were the right fit for Firefly and have placed your trust in them?
It's a really good question. And one of our co-founders, he's our chief network officer, and has from almost day zero, that's really been his principal focus, has been identifying these partners. And there's a few things. First, it is looking at, you know, what are the set of services that we need to provide? And then what are the best ways to provide them and by who? And part of what we're doing is in many ways unbundling the typical experience, because you don't need to go and get an entire workup, because we will have that information about you. But you do need to have, or you probably will need to have, diagnostic tests. Or if you have, let's say, abdominal pain, sometimes you just need someone to actually physically examine you and palpate your abdomen. And so we're really finding the optimal partners for those. And we're looking at a lot of outcomes data. So We're looking at outcomes. We're looking at member experience, and we're looking at price. Our mission is we really want to provide radically better care at a much lower price point. So we are really focused on value and on the value we're delivering, which means higher quality care at a lower cost. And we're also holding members accountable. So it's about convenience and access. So we're ensuring that they're actually able to see members in a short period of time, and that it's a great experience, and their scorecards, and they can see their scorecards. We're showing them their scorecards. And if it's not a good experience, or if they are not actually abiding by the SLAs, then we stop sending members there.
And I think it's great that you really have your hands on that and make sure that you're providing the best care possible, because I mean, that's unfortunately something that many people experience, is feeling like they're not getting the quality care that they need, or seeing some type of medical professional who's not giving them ultimately that time of day ultimately, or the care and attention that they deserve. So I think it's great that Firefly Health really prioritizes that.
Yeah, it is absolutely core to everything we do.
Definitely. And so with that, this might be someone who's considered a part of like one of your health guides, but I can imagine that for many women, there's more specialties that might be required within their core team, whether it's an OBGYN or whether they need someone who they need to see more frequently, depending on their situation. Does Firefly Health ever expand upon that depending on the situation, or do you kind of tend to stick to that main group of people?
Do we ever expand upon the services that we're providing?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. And so we've really, I'd say, expanded the bounds of care we're providing. So we talked about that core care team. So those are fully employed clinicians within Firefly, but then we've expanded the scope of care that we're able to provide through partners. And so we both have individual specialists that are practicing on our platform that can see members, but then we've also partnered with other condition-specific companies. So we have partners for GI, we have partners for MSK, we have partners for sort of high-risk maternity care. And we have a long tail of these more specialized partners and multi-specialty practices where we will refer members, and they're vetted for the same things, and in some ways actually more, because it's very different to get a diagnostic test than it is specialty care. So we're really looking there at outcomes. We're looking at experience. We're looking at value, cost. And we have evaluated, for any given partner we have, we probably evaluated, you know, 9 other alternatives.
Yeah. So it shows that you go through a very regulated or very clear and intentional process of being able to bring those partners in, which I think is huge, because just having the weight off your shoulders of not necessarily needing to do the vetting yourself as an individual who seeks that care, I think can definitely alleviate a lot of stress and overwhelm that comes with the process.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to hear more about how Firefly started overall. I know you mentioned, of course, having this core team and how it really benefits people throughout their healthcare journey, but what was kind of like that moment that really ignited the idea or the inspiration for starting the organization?
Yeah, so I'm not technically a founder. It was started by Andy Elner, who started the Center for Primary Care at Harvard Medical School, which was really built to both study and lead the way in establishing care models for primary care to really move the needle on value within the system. And, you know, we as a joke, you know, call it, I would say, maybe I won't say this on there, but I would say that, you know, one of the biggest recognitions that he had after about 10 years was that the best way to really move the needle on value through primary care was to actually get outside the system and start something truly independent. And that was really the birth of Firefly, which was actually, you know, let me take everything that I've seen, like what great looks like, and then actually implement it as an independent group where it is not tied to a high cost health system. And so that was really the birth and foundation of Firefly. And it was at that point in time when we got connected, and I was an investor at the time. So I was in venture capital and I was investing all in this space and all around the sort of peer companies. And we were connected when he was just thinking about starting Firefly. And he's clinician, and he had a very clinical lens. And so we began to speak around what it would mean to actually start a business in the space. And he has a co-founder, also a clinician, who had been a medical director at Brigham and Women's and really was very involved in the innovation ecosystem there. And that's the individual who's led our network development, Jeff Greenberg. And it was, through a course of conversations, I became more and more interested. And for me, it really felt like Firefly was the tip of the spear, and the tip of the spear to just remove so much excess and just waste in our healthcare system. So, unnecessary visits, unnecessary buildings, unnecessary, all of these things that actually don't contribute to high quality care, to better access, better outcomes, better care, but have basically been built as relics of, really a century ago when, these buildings were actually critical. And, our health system kind of emerged from a model that was true and sort of disease drivers that were the case a century ago and not today. And then the whole way we practice then was further, I think, cemented by the way that people get paid. So, visits in often cases are a figment of the fact that you need a visit to bill, to get paid, not because it is actually the best way to address whatever health condition someone might have. Oftentimes, you can actually have much better outcomes if you're continuously engaging with members, but there's not, there hasn't been historically a clear payment model for that. And that's sort of where the whole value-based care, change has come and has been trying to actually ensure that people are paid for outcomes, not just for visits. And so it was, for me, it felt like Firefly really had the best opportunity to attack that and to restructure the way that care is delivered to really optimize for outcomes and value and really focus on the commercial space, which had been largely underserved. A lot of people were focusing on Medicare Advantage and seniors, but had not really been focusing on commercial population. And so began spending a day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week. And then I was completely hooked and I left venture and joined originally as president and about a year in became CEO and Andy transitioned into a chief clinical officer role.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And I think it's really inspiring too to hear about just how you were so drawn in right from the very beginning and how it led you to where you are today. And I also am appreciative that you brought up the fact about affordability because I've always felt that healthcare should be a right, not a privilege. Like everyone should have access to quality healthcare. And so I think that with the way that Firefly is set up and the way that it provides and supports its members, I think that's huge for getting us closer to that goal within this country.
Yes, absolutely. And affordability is a huge component of what Firefly is helping to achieve. It is, both through the way that we are structuring our care to reduce total cost of care for individuals, be they employers or other partner health plans, but then ultimately passing on those savings to individual employees and members as well.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned that one of the biggest differentiators is the fact that Firefly Health's income or money comes from outcomes not tied to visits or going into an office to see patients or members. And so could you talk more about that, about the outcome aspect and how that really plays a big role?
Yeah. So Firefly is, we're basically, we are compensated. There is a base amount per member per month. And which really incents it's not tied to a visit. So we're not just getting paid on a visit. And really the majority of what we're paid is tied to the quality outcomes and total cost of care outcomes we deliver. So, the vast majority of, real revenue from Firefly comes from improving conditions. So improving hypertension, improving depression, anxiety, diabetes management, ensuring that, people at risk with various risk factors are getting screened, reducing the total cost of care. So, those are that is, you know, a much larger driver for Firefly of revenue, really ensuring that we are delivering better health outcomes for our members and reducing the total cost of care than, you know, anything else.
Yeah. And with that, are there any specific like success stories ultimately that you could be able to share about some of those awesome outcomes that you've had?
Oh, there's so many. There's dozens and dozens a day that just, I would say, certainly keep me and I believe the entire company running. You know, the number of people that, and I think that, you know, what I love is the stories where all aspects of our mission come together. So if you think about our ability to provide, you know, more access to care, more affordable care, really provide equitable access. So it's like equitable access to care for individuals. And then also just the clinician component. So we're also really addressing, you know, just provider burnout and our clinicians. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the other part of this. We're talking a lot about the outcomes for members, and I'll go into some member stories. But the other part of this is actually the individuals providing the care, because we are really at a point where, first of all, you know, there's a real shortage in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and across the country of primary care physicians. Those that are practicing are truly burnt out. I think, you know, almost 40% are older than 60, meaning that it is only going to decrease. And, you know, I think part of it is the grind, right? It is continuously doing low value work and work that, you know, they know does not directly tie to outcomes. It's either bringing people in for visits that aren't necessary. It is spending half your day filling out paperwork versus actually managing, you know, longitudinally someone's health and conditions and being able to intervene and be there in moments that matter. And I think it's also the lower value kind of administrative work that just drains people. And our clinicians love working for Firefly. So there's like an ENPS score. So it's employee NPS. And ours is in the 90s, which is really unheard of, given just the overall, I would say, just crisis we have in our country for clinicians. So I'm as proud of that and sort of the clinical culture that we have built and just the exceptional clinicians that we have in our team. Like, these are really remarkable individuals who just deliver such great care and they're happy doing it. So really proud of that, of the clinician side. And then, you know, there's so many instances of people just having had deferred care or nothing ever having been addressed, and access is such a challenge that either people just, they can't afford to take off time and it's too much of a hassle, or they're looking for a PCP and the next appointment is in 9 months. You know, we're guaranteeing availability for members. And so, you know, it just means that people are able to address conditions that they weren't. And, you know, there's so many instances of people just having multiple chronic conditions, really unresolved. And within, you know, pretty immediately, you begin to see the impact. It is really over months if people have multiple, like you see the compounding effect. But, you know, the number of lives that we really have saved is just, it's non-trivial and it's a lot. And it is, I think it really does start with access, but access only goes so far. And that's what most telehealth is. It's really urgent care. It's not advanced primary care. It's not longitudinal. And that's where Firefly really tries to go beyond pure access and deliver value. And for us, value means better care, the lower cost, it's outcomes.
Absolutely. I think it's huge that Firefly Health is able to get its members in so quickly for appointments, because as you mentioned, with the example or the situation of someone looking for a new PCP and not getting seen for another 9 months. And so especially for people who have a more dire or time sensitive condition or situation that may need to be looked at much more quickly, I think that's a huge advantage that people are able to get in when they need it and receive that quality care right off the bat.
No, it absolutely is. And I think that it starts with access, and then it's actually utilizing the access to ensure that people are engaging and going a step further than just receiving immediate care, but really beginning to engage in a relationship that can lead to just ongoing better outcomes. But it absolutely does start with access.
Absolutely. And so could you talk more about your history? I mean, I know you mentioned that you were in BC and you kind of heard this inspiring story of wanting to join Firefly Health, but I'd love to kind of hear your journey of what led you to where you are today.
Yeah, I wasn't straight course. My background originally in school was all over the map, from computer science, economics, English, physics. So really all over the map. My first job was as an engineer. And then I ended up joining the venture capital firm that had invested in the company where I was working. And after a couple of years there, really learning the ropes and being bottom of the totem pole, I decided to join a company. And I still thought I was technical. And then I was the only non-PhD in distributed systems. And they basically said, that's adorable. You're in business. And so all of a sudden I was in business and business development. And, it was a highly technical solution. It really was. It was, largely engineers. And we were selling at this point. This is really how I began to get into healthcare, because we were selling into health systems. And and then the CEO ended up having a horrible sort of unexpected health situation. And I was sort of thrust into this role as the only business person there in an interim CEO role. And I was completely in over my head. I was in my, in my 20s, and I knew nothing about running a company. And just, I would say, muddled my way through. It ended up being a good outcome, led that through an acquisition. And then it was, at the point of being in this much larger company that acquired us, I recognized, I did not feel like being in part of just a massive organization. I really loved to be able to see the impact of the work that I was doing out in the world. And there was just, it was so slow and so bureaucratic that I left. And I ended up going back to venture capital briefly. And then I started a digital health company, selling into health systems. And it was really about access. And it was about creating both virtual access and in-person access. But it was really focused on academic medical systems. Had many of the major academic medical systems in both the New England area as well as the New York area at the time as customers. And it was after a few years of that that there were multiple things that were happening, but ultimately I recognized I was solving the wrong problem, because it was excellent that it was creating access, but in many ways it was very focused on visits. So it was getting people in for visits into academic medical systems. And one, sort of a recognition that not everything had to be done in visits. This is one of the reasons why, hopefully, you'll understand why Firefly resonated with me so much, because the whole premise of Firefly is actually moving away from the visit as the mode of value. And in many ways, it felt like it got right what I had gotten wrong previously. And so I was really focused on optimizing for visits at academic health systems. And then, because it's not, most things don't have to happen in visits. And two, most things don't have to happen at an academic medical system. And, in some ways contributing to the problem of costs, like high costs, hard access, even though, we were dramatically reducing wait times. Maybe we solved on access, but not ultimately on cost or value. And so I left that company that I was co-founder and CEO of, and I became venture partner at a growth equity venture capital firm, investing in healthcare. So, and it was at that point in time when I connected with Andy as he was thinking about Firefly, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I love that. One of the things too that I would love to hone in more on with Firefly is just its virtual component. I feel like the pandemic has gotten people a lot more used to doing things virtually than they were previously. But have you found that you've almost needed to convince or kind of really hone in on the value that the virtual services provides to your members?
Yeah. So it's a good question. And I think it's true. The pandemic in many ways pulled everything forward about a decade, I'd say, because now it's not a matter of convincing people that care can be delivered virtually. Almost everyone has experienced that in some way, shape, or form. And
But there is a big disconnect between, I think, some of the virtual care that people are used to getting and really what does it mean to get, you know, all true primary care. And this is where I think there's still, and the entire term has been diluted because everyone says they're doing virtual primary care. And I would argue it's not primary care. It's usually urgent care. And so there's a bit of, I think that we are, first of all, primary care needs a rebranding. That's like a whole separate topic. But I find that we are often fighting assumptions around what virtual care is. And people still, while they're comfortable with virtual care, they still associate it with really sort of minor, like urgent care, episodic needs. So, you know, you have a UTI or you have a rash or something that, and rash is not always simple, but something that is just, you know, not a complex kind of relationship-based longitudinal care matter. And I think that that's where Firefly has, that's where sort of our messaging has had to come in. And there's still a lot of people that just associate it with one thing and they're comfortable with that, but they don't think about it for more than that. And that's where I think that we talked about those integrated kind of physical care places. That's where that is really important. So these Firefly yeah. near partners, because while our clinicians are virtual, and there's a lot of advantage to that because it means they're always in your pocket. They're always there, your entire care team. We're not saying that all care is going to be done virtually. It's not. And when you do need to have care done in person, that's when we are going to connect you with our Firefly nearby partners. And I think that that's the important part is we're not saying you're never going to need to be seen in person because inevitably at some point people will. Like they'll need some test, they'll need some diagnostic. And it is actually knowing that when that happens, we have a place to send you. And there's a place to get that. You're not sort of just out on your own.
Absolutely. I love that. And where do you see Firefly going next? Like within 2024, so the next year, even the next 5 years, like I'd love to hear your vision and where you see it going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we love being in Massachusetts. We love continuing to grow throughout the state. We are in all 50 states. We have more members in Massachusetts than anywhere in the country. I think over the next several years, we will continue to saturate many more regions beyond Massachusetts and New England. So I think there's just an element of growth, but then there's also an element of population expansion. So beginning to serve seniors through Medicare Advantage, beginning to incorporate even more specialty services into the care that we're providing. You know, those are really the passive expansion for Firefly that we're on.
Perfect. And with you specifically in the role that you have as CEO, what would you say is the most exciting or fulfilling part of your role? And then on the opposite end of that, what are some challenges that you have faced?
I think, you know, I think one of the most fulfilling parts of my role is honestly, I feel just truly humbled by just the team that I have by my side that I'm able to work with every day. I learn from each one of them. I think every single person in the organization, one of my favorite things to do is to just shadow our clinical and ops team and get to see the care that they're delivering. And so I think that first of it is just the, I feel really lucky and humbled to have just such an exceptional team by my side, and to be able to lead them just really does feel like a privilege. So I think that is, I love that. And I think the hardest thing is, you know, the job never stops. So there is never, ever turning off. And fortunately, I'm very passionate about what I do and I love what I do. So that's okay. But there's no, you don't have an off switch. And, you know, especially when you're delivering care, there is no off. And so I think that that's probably the most challenging thing over multiple years, just managing your, ensuring that you don't burn out. And I am someone naturally, I have a hard time switching off. And I think that it is ensuring that it's sustainable and is sustainable for myself, but also I think sustainable for my leadership team and the broader team, ensuring that, you know, creating an environment that everyone's working really hard but that is not, you know, leads to a culture of too much burnout.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Are there any things that you found that have kind of helped with having that, like, quote unquote, work-life balance, or anything that has kind of helped you to almost transition out of work into that relaxation mode?
I mean, I don't know, maybe this is a little spicy. I don't really believe in work-life balance.
Yeah, me either.
To me, it is a continuum. And for me, it's, you know, work is life, life is work. It's not to say that you have to be on your computer in meetings 24/7. But I have not found a pure divide, and I'm okay with that. Yeah. But I think it's just a matter of, as long as I'm prioritizing and making space for the other parts of my life that matter. So I am, you know, religious about from 5 to 8 p.m., I don't do meetings and I won't do work. So that's sort of my dinner, bedtime, kid, family time. And then I'll be back online from 8 to 10 p.m. From 5 to 8 is sort of that sacred time. So there's things like that that made a really big difference. And it's just those rituals and knowing when it's, I am stepping away during those periods of time and I'll be back, but I'm offline. And I think really respecting those boundaries have been really important.
Absolutely. And speaking of prioritizing the things that are important to you, you're also involved in several organizations. So I'd love to hear more about those in terms of like your advisory or board member roles and how you balance that with your full-time career as a CEO.
Yeah. I mean, I love getting involved with other companies. If anything, I have to hold myself back. it's really fun, to support other founders and entrepreneurs or, you know, just individuals doing things that I'm excited and passionate about. I'm also on the board of my husband's company. He's on the board of my company. So that's interesting. There's sort of that dynamic, which is actually, we talk about work-life balance and separation. It's another example. Half my board is, you know, people it's have become friends, you know, family, in the case of husband, but it's, you know, I actually think it's a really positive because one is there's no pretense. You go through your board meeting, there is no pretense. Everyone knows where you stand. They know who you are and you can actually just get into the meat. And I find that wildly constructive. Mm-hmm. So I love working with other startup companies and companies in general in the healthcare space and probably involved in too many, either as an investor, an angel investor, or an advisor or board member in some instances. And then a variety of nonprofits. So academic, educational,
I love that. And then another fun question, I'd love to hear what your favorite local businesses are to support in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. You know, the first thing that came to mind when I thought of, I am a huge fan of Porter Square Books. And I love Porter Square Books. I love the bookstore. I love the environment. I love the gifts. I love the cafe. So that is one thing that came to mind. I love all of the, I would say, what I feel like is these emerging sort of natural wine companies in the state that I love supporting, and they're often, you know, centerpieces on my table as well as gifts.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really appreciated having the opportunity to have you come on the show and share more about everything that Firefly Health is doing. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case you'd like to connect further.
Yeah, well, it was great. And you can find out more about Firefly at firefly.health.
Perfect. And I will link to that in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there.
Sounds wonderful.
All right. Thanks, Faye, for coming on the show.
All right. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.